It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 909 for the 22nd of November, 2024. This week, is there a key on the keyboard that you absolutely despise? Maybe the caps lock key. Maybe some other key that causes trouble for you when you press it accidentally. There is an easy and free way to banish keys like that. In short circuits, maybe you wish you could convert a key that you don't use to perform a useful function. Maybe start an app that you use all the time. Well, there's also an easy and free way to do that. And many early users of computers mastered the skill of creating batch files to perform repetitive tasks. 40 years later, these skills can still be useful even with Windows 10 and Windows 11. And the skills aren't that hard to learn. A key exists on computer keyboards that has no reason for being there. Over the years, I have physically removed the key, as well as pulling the keycap off, squirting some super glue in, and then replacing the key. Eventually, I learned how to disable the key with a registry edit so I didn't have to damage the keyboard, and then a utility called Sharp Keys arrived. That was a long time ago, and it's still an important utility to have. And by a long time ago, I mean 2003. That's when a guy named Randy wrote it. Randy doesn't publicize his last name. He moved from Connecticut and now lives in the Northwest, presumably in the vicinity of Microsoft. His Sharp Keys utility is offered by the Microsoft Store. But to get back to the main subject, have you figured out which key it is that I dislike so much? It's the one that if you accidentally press it, it makes it look like you're shouting. Yep, it's the caps lock key. You can make the caps lock key act like a shift key, or disable it entirely. All it takes is a registry edit, but the edit is far from simple. I've described it previously. I'm not going to do it again because it'd be much easier just to get Sharp Keys from the Windows Store, install it, set it to disable caps lock, my preference is just disable it, or make it act like the shift key, then restart the computer and get on with things. No need to visit the registry. Maybe you don't like caps lock either, or perhaps there's a key on the keyboard that you wished acted like another key. That's why you'd want to download Sharp Keys. The utility isn't the actor responsible for changing the behavior of the keys. It simply makes some registry edits, and the registry handles the actual changes. It includes a list of common keyboard keys and a type key function that the user can enable to let Sharp Keys identify the key that you want to change. Two warnings are important here. First, Sharp Keys may not be able to modify specialized keys added by the keyboard manufacturer. If there are special keys for raising or lowering volume, for example, those keys might not be modifiable because they're processed by the keyboard and not by Windows. Second, and actually more important, is that some keys should not be disabled. Disable the delete key, and you will have effectively turned the computer into a brick because Control-Alt-Delete will no longer work. You can't use Sharp Keys to assign a complex keystroke to a single key. If, for example, you'd like the F7 key to act as a save key, Control-S, you can't do that. But there is a way with another utility, and I'll get to that in just a bit. If you want to turn your standard QWERTY keyboard into a Dvorak keyboard, Sharp Keys will do it. Or if you want to switch the functions of the left Windows key and the left Control key, you can do that. Don't try to map mouse clicks to keys, though. That doesn't work. Also, be aware that key mappings are not user-specific. If you share the computer with a spouse or a friend, the changes you make in your account will affect their accounts, too. All of the changes Sharp Keys make can be made directly with registry edits, but avoiding direct registry edits is always wise. The utility is easy to use, and it won't make any typos in the registry. When you start SharpKeys, Windows will display a user access control warning. That's because it will adjust the registry. If you have made manual changes, SharpKeys will recognize them. If your computer has two keyboards, it is important to be sure that the key you think you're mapping is the key you really are mapping. Many people who use notebook computers attach full-size keyboards to the computers, and SharpKeys will see both keyboards. SharpKeys may also report a lot of unknown keys. There are hundreds of keyboard models, and many include extra keys that don't use standard scan codes that apply to common keys. The easiest way to identify the key that you want to change is to click the Type Key button on the key mapping dialog box, and then press the key that you want to map. SharpKeys will select the appropriate value and fill it in. If you want to remap either the left Alt key or the right Alt key, though, pressing the key itself won't work. You'll need to find it in the list of keys. They are in the Special section. The left Alt is 00_38. The right key is EO_38. Once you've identified the key to change, it will appear in the left column. The top option in the right column is Turn Key Off. Select that or choose the key to mimic. The Insert key toggles between Overtype and Insert. I never want the Overtype mode on. Never. So I've disabled it, too. After defining all of the mappings that you want to use, press the Write to Registry button. You'll then need to reboot the computer, or at least log out and then log back on, so that the registry will be reread to enable your new mappings. If you've created several mappings that you'd like to use on another computer, click Save Keys to write a file. Take that file and SharpKeys executable to the other machine, run the application, use the Load Keys button to import the settings, and click the Write to Registry button on that second machine. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the Donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, as helpful as SharpKeys is, it doesn't accomplish everything you might want to do when modifying the computer's keyboard. Fortunately, Microsoft's free PowerToys set of utilities includes Keyboard Manager, a utility that plays quite well with SharpKeys. You want to start by downloading and installing PowerToys, then open the PowerToys control panel and select Keyboard Manager and enable it. There are two primary options, remap a key and remap a shortcut. Any keys that you modify with PowerToys will be active only when PowerToys is running. This differs from keys modified using SharpKeys. Because SharpKeys writes changes to the registry, its changes are effective as soon as the registry has been read, which is very early in the Windows startup process. PowerToys Keyboard Manager must wait until Windows is fully operational to load. Additionally, if you use a startup manager to delay PowerToys, that will also delay Keyboard Manager. The advantage here is that if a second computer user doesn't like the modifications you made with Keyboard Manager, the utility can simply be disabled when they're using the computer. You know that SharpKeys can't map multiple keys to a single key. If you decide, for example, that you'd like the F7 key to send the keystrokes that call the Advanced Windows Paste function, that's the Windows key and V, to display all of the items on the paste buffer, you would choose the Remap a Key option, click the Add Key Remapping button, click the Select button in the left column, and then press the F7 key. Click OK to move to the right column. Make sure Send Keyboard Shortcut is selected. press the Select button, then press the Windows key and V. Click the OK button, then click OK in the top right corner of the screen. Keyboard Manager will warn you that F7 will no longer have its standard function. Click Continue Anyway to proceed to remapping the key. You can also assign key combinations to activate shortcuts. Maybe you'd like Control-Shift-W to start Microsoft Word. In that case, choose Remap a Shortcut and click the Add Shortcut Remapping on the next screen. Click the pencil icon. Make sure Allow Chords is selected. Press Control-Shift-W and then click OK. Then in the right column, choose Run a Program. Type the location of the app, if you know it, or click Select Program to navigate manually. When you have filled in all of the information that you need, click the OK button in the upper right corner. So Keyboard Manager offers many additional options, and these are all covered on Microsoft's website. You'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Year-old technology may seem like something from the Stone Age, but some things that were invented in the 1980s and 1990s can still be useful, sometimes faster or better than the latest and greatest. Remember DOS? That's where Microsoft started. Then they built a shell that sat on top of DOS for the first few versions of Windows. It wasn't until Windows 95 that we had an operating system instead of a DOS add-on. I used a lot of batch commands for all kinds of tasks, including one that operated as a menu to start the dozen or so applications on the computer. The batch file displayed a numbered list of applications. To start a program, I typed the number associated with it on the menu and pressed Enter. The batch command then changed to the appropriate directory, launched the program, and opened again when I closed the program. Yeah, those were the days of using one program at a time. As recently as 2010, 7forums, a help site for Windows 7 users, was still showing users how to create a menu file using a DOS batch command. You'll see an example that I wrote on the TechBiter Worldwide website. With the graphical user interface and menus like the one built into Windows or third-party menus such as Stardock's Start 11, there's no longer a need for a simple menu like that, and Windows wouldn't allow the user to save the menu in the root directory of the boot drive anyway. The graphical user interface, which, by the way, wasn't invented by Microsoft or Apple, was slower than using DOS commands for many jobs early on, and batch files performed repetitive tasks flawlessly. So I hung on to DOS until Windows 95 showed me that the GUI could perform some operations faster and better than DOS. By the way, the graphical user interface was invented in Palo Alto, California, by Xerox at the Palo Alto Research Center, PARC as it was known. It was sufficiently far from Xerox's East Coast headquarters that it got away with doing research work that the bean counters couldn't understand. In addition to the graphical user interface, PARC invented the mouse, the laser printer that was then licensed to Hewlett-Packard, the concept of a notebook computer that was envisioned as being like a pizza box, and much of the technology that runs the internet. But we're off topic again. What looks a lot like a DOS command line still exists in Windows 11, along with a newer alternative called PowerShell. Batch files continue to be useful and, in my world, important. When I want to shut the computer down, restart the computer, or get to the device's BIOS settings, I use a command line script. You probably know already how important I think backup is, which is why I use multiple methods to secure important files in multiple locations. Most of those involve some cost, but any backup, even a backup that's retained on an external drive that's stored in the same building as the computer, is better than nothing. And batch files can be helpful. Copy and xcopy are the two antique DOS commands. The first was used to copy small groups of files. The second was used to copy files and directories. Now there's robocopy, which is a more powerful version of xcopy. Robo has nothing to do with robots, by the way. It stands for robust. It's not as good as an online backup service such as Backblaze or a utility such as GoodSync or a backup application like Aomi Backupper, but it can be used to mirror directories in addition to its ability to copy, move, or archive files. It can be set to copy only new or changed files. It honors the archive bit. Because of the mirroring option, the first backup will take longer if you use that option. RoboCopy can even be set to watch a directory for changes and then copy files that have been changed. If you'd like to learn more about RoboCopy, check out an article by Lazy Admin. Although you can no longer easily write batch files or command files to the root directory of your boot drive, they can be stored elsewhere on the computer, and I have included on the TechBinder Worldwide website a few examples of batch files. The first two are kind of silly examples, along with two that I use regularly. Batch command files can be used in a variety of ways to streamline tasks and improve productivity. Yes, even on Windows 11. Master batch scripting, and you can save some time and reduce the potential for errors in repetitive tasks. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.